It is 7:40, and as you know, it's crucial to stay informed without falling into the traps of false information. And with us to discuss some tips and tricks to avoiding those traps, digital media strategist Scott Kleinberg. Scott, good morning. A lot of headlines today about news outlets getting ready for election night and how they're planning to combat misinformation. And this is really important, isn't it?
Yeah, good morning, Bob. It is very important, but it also goes beyond elections. And I've been doing this long enough to remember when misinformation and disinformation on social media was just something that happened and something you saw, but it wasn't a widespread problem, and it was something that still could be addressed and managed and tackled. But now it is literally part of the fabric of our online life. So it's really up to us to know how to navigate it all.
Yeah, there are stories today about the heads of news organizations talking about worrying about the speed with which misinformation travels and the lack of control that a news organization, any news organization, has over that. And we aren't sure what to believe anymore because our information ecosystem has become so polluted. So let's start with that all-important distinction between misinformation and disinformation. How do they differ?
Sure. So both are bad in different ways. Misinformation is false or misleading information shared, but it has no harmful intent. It just gets out there. It's flooding the zone. While disinformation is deliberately deceptive information that spreads specifically to mislead people.
So give us an example of how these might manifest themselves on election night next week.
Sure. So misinformation might be a report that some news outlet called a state for one candidate where it shouldn't have been called too early. And even if there's an attempt to correct that original source of misinformation, once it's out there, the damage is done because it's still going to spread. Now, disinformation might be one party deliberately saying prematurely that their candidate won the election in an attempt to specifically flood feeds with that false info.
So next Tuesday, election night, how can everyone ensure that they're getting accurate info?
The key, Bob, is to rely on trusted sources. And for some of us, that is really hard because we're hungry for info. Sometimes we just want to glom onto the first thing we see or something that sounds positive. But trusted sources are trusted for a reason. So you want to follow official election websites and reputable news outlets. You want to be cautious of sensational headlines or unverified social media posts. And it's also wise double-check any surprising claims with a fact-checking website like PolitiFact or Snopes.
But verification on social media has changed a lot since the last election. Now anyone can have a check mark, can't they?
You're so right. And there is not a big enough word to describe how massive of an issue this is. When X started attaching check marks to anyone who wanted one, our previous ways of relying on these verified accounts disappeared. I used to have columns on my computer devoted to people with check marks to be able to recommend them to everyone to ensure accurate information. Now, I actually steer clear of the check marks because you can order a pizza and then order a check mark. And there are verified accounts that share some really horrific content, and it's the wild, wild west.
Yeah, unbelievable. And then you have those deep fakes, the images, the videos that look so real but aren't. Is it possible to identify them? How can we ID those?
And also, you know, don't forget deep fake voices. That's also a thing. And the world of deep fake, it's become so much more sophisticated. I don't think we're at the point yet where it's impossible to tell, but we're getting closer. Much like those spammers and hackers who get smarter and smarter, the technology to create deepfakes gets smarter by the minute. So the key here, look for inconsistencies. For video, pay attention to unnatural facial movement, mismatched lip syncing, irregular blinking patterns in eyes. For photos, there are some tells, also eyes. Oddities and eyeballs seem to be a thing with deepfakes. And sometimes you have to zoom into a photo to really see these things. There's actually AI tools out there that can spot deepfakes, things that you can't see with a quick glance.
wow. But you can see how most people are going to fall for this stuff. After some weather and traffic info, we'll come back and talk more about disinformation. And we'll open up the Genius Bar, and we'll talk about Apple pushing their iPhone into the AI era with a free update. WGN, Chicago's very own. Social media strategist Scott Kleinberg talking with us about disinformation. And Scott, this is clearly about deceiving, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right, because disinformation is where someone wants a candidate for office, let's say, or anyone really, to say something they didn't say. So when we're talking about those deepfakes, and it's something that fits a different narrative. And because the tools that exist are readily available, there's less of a barrier to creating these things.
So why do we keep falling for it?
That's a good question, but I know the answer. And it's because we aren't doing our due diligence to not trust and question everything. And it's terrible that this is the advice that I have to give today, but trust is really out the window online unless you're talking with a trusted group or a circle of friends. And with the risk being so great, we really need to all change our default settings as humans. We have to trust and verify before sharing. We can't assume that what we're about to share is real because we may be 99.9% sure. 99.9% is still not 100%.
Okay. Well, what about fact-checking? Can we still use fact-checking to fight misinformation, to combat disinformation?
I think we can. I don't think fact-checking is a lost cause. It's just not done by enough people. You know, you and I have talked about that old mantra, when in doubt, Google it. And while incorrect search results can appear in Google, it's still an important way to check. Plus, studies show that it significantly reduces belief in false information. For me, once a journalist, always a journalist. It's priority one. Responsible reporting, no matter if I'm writing something online or if I'm sharing it with you here.
Yeah, it's really amazing how people, they're so gullible. They pass on this misinformation without really questioning it. Besides fact-checking, Scott, what other steps can we take to protect ourselves?
That due diligence that I mentioned is really essential. It means critically evaluating the source of information, checking for supporting evidence, and being wary of content that triggers strong emotional reactions. You always want to ask yourself if the information aligns with known facts.
Yeah, you know what? You're a journalist. I was brought up to be skeptical and to double and triple and quadruple check facts, but unfortunately, most people don't do that. What about helping others avoid misinformation?
That's really, really important. I mean, share knowledge with friends and family and encourage them to verify information before sharing it further, because research indicates that people are more receptive to corrections from people they know. So if you have these conversations, it can make a really big difference.
Yeah, and good luck avoiding fist fights. A lot to take in here. Any final tips, Scott?
Yeah, I think this is actually a good one. Take a deep breath. You always want to pause before reacting to new information, especially if it seems too good or even too bad to be true. You know, verify with multiple credible sources. And remember, it's okay not to share something if you're unsure about it. And, you know, everything is fast-paced. We scan, we don't read. We get impatient when our latte is supposed to be ready in 3 to 6 minutes, but it takes 8. You know, if that impatience comes the real danger of putting more misinformation out there, even when you don't mean to, you can contribute to that problem so easily. So when you think about it, that's why taking a deep breath is so important.
Yeah, so many people don't check, don't go deeper beyond a headline, and that is part of the problem for sure. Let's get to our Genius Bar. And today, Scott, we'd like your take on Apple. Yesterday, they released iOS 18.1, an update for iPhones that includes the first public version of Apple Intelligence. Have you had a chance to check this out?
I have, but interesting thing, I had to use a colleague's phone because unless you have a phone that was manufactured from late last year through now, Apple Intelligence will not run on older devices. iOS 18.1 will. But the Apple Intelligence features won't. So this is like a piece of Apple marketing genius, where they have given us a reason to upgrade. Someone like me, who has a 2.5-year-old phone, would normally not be thinking about upgrading for at least another year or two. But now, after seeing these features on my colleague's phone, I'm like, I have to have this now. So I would say my first impression is it's pretty amazing. There's summaries of features, there's better Siri, there's photo editing. It's really, really cool.
But the headline is genius marketing, isn't it?
It really, really is, because, you know, they're like, oh, by the way, 18.1, here, you can use it, but unless you have this brand new phone, you can't have all the great features. So to me, it's a really great work of art how they do that.
And let's see, recent Macs and iPads also can use this latest software to enable the new features. Is that right?
Yeah, the interesting thing is iPhones and iPads only from late last year, iPhone 15, iPhone 16, iPad Mini 7, I think, and another one. But Macs, going back to the M1 chip, which is their first switch over from Intel chips, and that happened very late in 2020. So you can have a computer going back to late 2020, early 2021 that will get some of these features. Hmm. But your mobile devices have to be new from late last year.
Interesting. Thanks for filling us in on that, Scott Kleinberg. You have a good day.
You too, Bob. Take care.